Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to talk to you this morning just a little bit about a couple of verses from the gospel reading for today, 16 and 18 of chapter 14. And here they are. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." It's our text. Rifling through a stack of pictures and news clippings, really, pictures from newspapers and articles, news articles from a while back from Kosovo, if you can remember back that far. It's about, I'm guessing, 30 years or so, at least somewhere in there. But whenever you look at them, and I'm trying to get rid of a lot of junk that I got collected over the course of years in file folders, that probably some of you have stuff like that too. But these pictures tear at your heart a little bit. Scenes of war in a ravaged land that you can't imagine. Stories, new stories of devastation. And the TV at the time had the same kind of stuff, only visually. Pictures of bombed out homes, churches, public buildings, reports of cruelty, the slaughter of whole villages of people. Thousands upon thousands of people were really put to death, forcibly relocated. And perhaps the most heart-wrenching bit are the pictures of the little children, the kids, the preschoolers. Some are crying, some are terrified, obviously, from their facial expressions, alone. They may have lost their parents. They're forced to leave the town they've lived in forever, at least as far as they can remember. Their family maybe have been wiped out, and now they're orphans. Well, as I said, that came from news clippings that I saved. I don't know why I was not teaching at the time, but I guess what teachers do is collect stuff. And I saved that, I guess, for that moment to look at and to remind myself that since that time, whenever that date was, and I clipped the date off the clipping itself, I realized that could be happening, and it is happening even today in these days. Media reports that not just a selected few of incidents are happening now, but they're happening all over the world. And I would guess that we would be surprised at this if we knew at this very moment how many people are suffering under violent regimes in their country. Where there is war and violence and disruption, there are orphans. And some of those orphans are so small and seemingly insignificant. The mass of humanity that's gathered in huge, huge refugee camps. And I ask myself, what future do these kids have? Some of them have witnessed tragedy that's going to impact them until the day they die. We might wish that there were something that we could do, that I could do, to make a difference in the lives of those kids, to show them the love that they're missing, the security, the warmth that they are looking for. And then right here in our own Tri-Cities backyard, there are orphans. Not in the sense of kids losing their parents through war or anything like that, but children, teenagers, who are unwanted, abused by their families, children for whom love, attention, and care are distant memories. And they're at risk. They're vulnerable, open to abuse. And maybe some orphans today are unfortunate, but some may be a little more blessed. Aid agencies set up orphanages, and some kids are adopted into loving homes. And the task is really enormous, because it's not just a matter of food and shelter, but helping kids deal with the loss of life of the one they loved, the emotional scars that are left, and the feelings of abandonment and loneliness. Abandoned without roots or stability, without love. It's a kind of heart-rending, soul-numbing experience of which Jesus is talking to his disciples in this gospel. And then he comes to the part where he says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Now keep in mind that Jesus is speaking here to a group of people whom he loved, whom they had come to depend upon, on Jesus. The disciples knew Jesus very closely and personally. They had walked together, talked together, ate together, shared good times, bad times together. And they had been constant companions of Jesus. And they felt confident and safe in his presence. When they experienced doubt or pain or suffering, they understood that Jesus knew, felt what was happening to them. Because Jesus knew what it was like to be a human being. And they were, when they were filled with joy and happiness, or overcome with sadness or sorrow, either way, they felt secure. They knew that Jesus experienced the same kind of experiences as they did. And the disciples were kind of secure and confident with Jesus as their Lord, their master. When demons were encountered, Jesus cast them out. When hunger was experienced, Jesus multiplied loaves. When sickness threatened, Jesus said, "Be healed," and they were healed. When death overwhelmed, he conquered. When self-centered leaders tried to deceive, he protected them with the truth. Living with Jesus was really great. Living with Jesus meant the kind of peace and security that many people down through the ages have longed for at one time or another. And maybe you've craved the real presence of Jesus in your life. Standing at the deathbed of a loved one and wishing desperately that somehow Jesus would walk through the door and say, "Get up and walk." Watching TV aid workers and relief givers in refugee camps rationing out the food and water so that many people would have a ration of food and stretch, and they could stretch it to feed the multitude that was there. Maybe you felt rejected by those around you, and when you want nothing more than Jesus to approach you the way he did Zacchaeus and say to you, "Come on down. I want to visit you tonight in your home. Have you feed me a little bit and have some conversation together." Maybe you feel a little depressed now and then. Your life, your family, you feel unloved and unwanted, and you crave for the loving arms of Jesus to to go around your shoulder and to hear his voice say, "Come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads. I'll give you some rest." Or you feel confused and sad as you stand at the grave of a young person, or not so young maybe. If only Jesus would be here and give the command, as he did to the daughter of Jairus, "Get up, child, you're healed." Well, the disciples had witnessed many moments like those, where they personally experienced the love, the care of Jesus, their master. But now, here in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking about going away, about leaving them. And the hearts of the disciples really leaped into their throats. And they began to feel a little uneasy. It couldn't be. They recalled what happened in the past when he left them for short periods of time, like the time when they went sailing and that violent storm blew up on the sea. And they didn't feel secure or safe until Jesus said to the storm and the sea, "Be still." And they were worried. They were very anxious. Is he saying he's leaving for good? What are we going to do? Jesus knew the impact that he was leaving, and he knew that it would upset his followers. And so he makes them a promise. "I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor, the Spirit of Truth. I would not leave you as orphans. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." Now, the scripture says here, Jesus will send them a counselor. When we think of a counselor, and I know what that means because that was my job for a long time, to sit in an office and dispense information to kids and their parents sometimes about what college to choose, what subjects they would do better in if they switched to, things like that. I even talked to parents about raising their kids a little bit, although I knew probably very little. But the New Testament here uses a special word that's really an untranslatable word. It's the Greek word paraclete. When you go home today, you can tell everybody else you know a little Greek. The word paraclete. It's used there in that text in John 14. Paraclete is not really a worker or helper, as are the ESV that we use for our translation of our scripture. And I checked the other translations that we've used over the course of the years, the KJV, the NIV, the RSV, and, well, all the other letters that you put together to make a Bible translation these days. A paraclete is not one of the words that we commonly can translate, but it means someone who is not only a listener, not only a teacher, but also a teacher, a listener, an advisor, someone who actively guides you, like taking your hand in making good decisions and choices that are in accord with God's will for your life. The word paraclete is a word that finds its origin in law courts. It's an advocate, someone who speaks on the behalf of another, and who represents that person, and who looks out for that other person's interests and other person's well-being. So Jesus says, "When I leave, I'll send someone who would listen to you, teach you, guide you, look out for your well-being. I will send you a paraclete, a helper, an advocate, a counselor, well, the Spirit of Truth, who will stay with you forever." And then he adds these words, "I am in my Father, and you are in me, just as I am in you." Jesus promises to send them the Holy Spirit to bring them together in the closest possible relationship. And just as Jesus is in God the Father, and Jesus is in us, and we, through the presence and the working and the guiding and the prodding and the teaching and the leading and the caring and the protecting of the Holy Spirit, are in Jesus. We're not talking here about some vague influence. We're not talking about some hazy, inspirational strength that would one day give us some memories of Christ and his example on earth. It's far deeper than example giving, stuff like that, far closer, far more mysterious, far more intimate than that. It's closer than close. We're talking about Jesus coming so close to believers that he touches our very hearts. He shares with us the most intimate, the deepest way possible. God in you, you in God. And it's the end of an orphan existence. We're no longer alone, no longer helpless. It's like receiving a heart transplant, new life beating in our chest, new life giving us fresh hope, new starts, a restored faith. Through water and word of holy baptism, Jesus is saying to us, you are mine, and we are again able to face the future because God is standing right beside us. In fact, even closer than that. He is so close that he is in us as we move through the various circumstances of this imperfect and often broken world without ever abandoning or ever forgetting about or overlooking us, empowering us to serve him through our church with one another. Now, I admit, if you're anything like me, there are times when we feel like orphans, alone, helpless, unloved, vulnerable, weak. But Jesus is saying to you and to me this morning that when you face those kinds of things, illness, hunger, loneliness, depression, sadness, whatever it is, you won't be doing it by yourself. He'll be there with you, in you, through you, through the counselor, the helper, the paraclete, right there to stand by your side. And he does it in so many ways. Sometimes he gives the unexpected, the spectacular. Sometimes you can feel his presence so closely that you're almost certain you can touch him. And sometimes he speaks to you directly through the Bible, through his word. Sometimes through others. And sometimes he is quiet and whispering almost behind you. And that is the presence of Christ in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And it's peace. Not a momentary emotion. We walk out of this place and it lasts for a few moments until we get down the drive. Not some wishful figment of the imagination or a distraction that ignores the reality of the world around us. We're talking about real peace, a deep-seated knowledge that life somehow in that big picture is going to work out okay, because when push comes to shove, in the eternal scheme of things, we're in good hands. And Jesus says to you and to me, peace is what I leave with you. It's my own peace I'm giving you. So don't be worried. Don't be upset. Don't be afraid. It's a gift of peace to believers, a gift made real through the Holy Spirit. Oh, there may be times we'll feel like orphans, lost, unloved, vulnerable. But we thank Jesus for his promises to us today in the gospel that reads like this. I will not leave you as orphans. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor, another paraclete, to be with you forever. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.